end of our list of Jesus I am statements in the Gospel of John. John gives us seven, as John would. Monica has made for each one of us today a bookmarker, and if you didn't see them, they're outside on the table by the bulletins. And this bookmarker is a reminder of the thread that John has brought through his gospel. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, I am the vine. Let me read this passage for us here. Excuse me, John 15. We were at 14 last week. I practiced that message so many times that I can't get on to the next one. John 15, we're going to read the first 11 verses. I am the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus, remember, is speaking to the disciples. They are probably finished with their Passover meal. They're full of roast lamb and matzo and have drunk wine and are probably getting drowsy, as we'll see later on when they go out into the night to the garden called Gethsemane, the oil press, it means. And they fall asleep when Jesus is praying. And this is the last night with them. I am the true vine, he says to them, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, my Father takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he trims, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide, remain, live in me, and I will abide, remain, live in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides, lives, remains on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide, remain, live in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who lives, remains, abides in me, and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, remain, live in me, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide, live, remain in me, and my words remain, abide, live in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. In this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, live, remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide, remain, live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide, remain, live in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Amen. God's word. have a picture I'd like to put up just now, and just leave that up for a few minutes if you would. We have in our lives a built-in insight to the deep, abiding, remaining, living in love of God. And it's this. It's the connection we have with our mother. We all have had that. None of us remember it, but it's there. We know it. And those deep connections between mother and baby, in utero and ex utero, when they're born, those connections are deep, and they're still discovering more and more connections. We know that cells from the baby cross the placental barrier and go into the mom and remain in the mother sometimes for 10 years and more. Cells from the mother cross the placental barrier and they remain part of that baby. They each change the other as they live together. Sometimes positively, and even sometimes negatively, but they are deeply tied. A fetus is comforted and learns rhythm by listening constantly, always, to its mother's heartbeat and its mother's breathing. It's right in the center of that. Both of them develop an immune tolerance to one another because they are two different people. They are genetically distinct. The baby is made of genetic material from its father and mother, and the mother is made from material from her mother and father. So they are two different people. Our world seems to have forgotten that. They give each other antibodies and immunity. And when the mother is under stress, the hormones from her stress affect the brain development and the behavior of the baby. So I asked some ladies in our church this week, three ladies who have born children, and asked them about that connection. And they had a number of funny things to say. And I also asked my youngest daughter, because she doesn't mind if I talk about her from this forum. And she asked me a very good question. She says, "What do you want to eat when you're nauseous?" And I said, "Nothing." "Exactly," she says. But she said, "When I was pregnant, I felt so nauseous that if I didn't get a cheeseburger within the next 5 minutes, I was going to throw up." Only that special relationship can bring that about. Many positive emotions foster during early bonding. Some of the ladies mentioned the physical skin-on-skin contact of the baby with mom and dad. Hearing the mother's voice inside and outside the womb makes a change and makes a safe place for that baby. So the baby is centered and knows who it is and where it needs to be. And that is, you know, one of the things that we have learned over the years is that the school system can wait. That a child needs to go to school when they're ready to leave, when they're safe enough with who they are in the home and in the family, that they can go out and be in that place. Whatever learning they missed out on by not going to kindergarten or whatever, they'll catch up very quickly if they're whole-centered people. And so there is this great connection. And it's so important. And we all have experienced that, as I say, even though we don't remember it. And for those among us who have born children into the world, you have a special version of that. You understand it in a different way. And so that leaves out all the men right at the top. And then the women who bear babies are only a certain percentage of the society of women. And so it's a very particular kind of thing. And since we live in this broken world, we know that not everybody gets to share in everything, and that's a difficulty in our life. And so it is in the spiritual world as well. God tells us in the New Testament that we are all adopted sons of God. He gives us what we need one way or another, but all of us have been here before. You can take that down now. Thank you. So what are some of the biggest problems in the perfect West? I think we called it the weird world. I can't remember all the things. Weird is we're wealthy, we're industrial, we're educated, and we're just perfect. We have everything we want. And yet our biggest problem, one of the biggest problems, is loneliness. Alienation from other human beings. We're surrounded by people. I am just always shocked. The more I read younger people just talking about, somebody who's 30 talking about when they went to college and they just spent years on end taking psychedelic drugs. I just never did that. And yet we live in this world where we're trying to stop the drug sellers from coming into our country, and I don't hear anyone addressing why there's a market. Why are people taking drugs? You know, and we get to, you know, there's cameras everywhere now, and so we see people committing horrible crimes. And you just know that a very high percentage of those people are just higher than a kite. They're drunk, they're high, they're whatever. And if you ask them on any given day if they would do this, they wouldn't do it at all. But that's the world we live in, and we're lonely. We're missing out on something. So our culture has taught us to use everyone as much as you can and don't trust anyone. We have completely disconnected human sexuality from relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. Even in the church, the culture, we come as sinners seeking Jesus, seeking redemption, and it takes him a while to get that stuff off of us that we've got on our shoes and on our clothes and all over us that we drag into God's church. And so we're in the culture, and it's in us, and we are here to make a difference. And so what is it that will do this for us? What is it that will make us different than the world? We're very deeply taken. Our culture has made us absolute. We're just brimming with faith for the next technological fix. That'll make it right. And every technological fix we get makes us distracted and keeps us from actually dealing with the real problem right here inside of us. So when we believe in technological fixes, and I like technological fixes, I use a bunch of them. I like being able to get anywhere, anytime. I like to being able to talk to anybody anywhere, anytime, have information anywhere, anytime. But in fact, it becomes a distraction, and sometimes our relationship with God can seem very cold and distant and mechanical. So what do we do with that? The scripture at Hebrews 12:8 tells us that we have not come in Christ, we have not come to the terrifying foot of Mount Sinai with its clouds and thunder and earthquakes and hearing the law of what we have to do and being terrified. God did that on purpose. He said, I wanted you to stop sinning. But we rather have come, it says, to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, where angels surround us as we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, the mediator of a new and better covenant by his own blood. That is what this text is telling us. What Hebrews the light that it shines onto the vine and the branches in this. So in Christ, we are connected to God deeply and personally. And I don't just mean, when I say personally, I don't mean just individually. We are connected individually, but we're also connected as a group. He deals with us in some ways and in some fashions as a group. We're not all just individual consumers here, finding the best place and the coolest music or the whatever it is we're looking for. We are the body of Christ, integrated as a body is integrated. And so this passage I read to you, the first eight verses, he talked about this metaphor, the vine. And then in verses 9 through 16, he gives an explanation for it. And I just read a couple of those verses so that we would catch where he was going with it. And then we'll stay with the vine. So it's a command. Jesus is telling us, could I get the first slide, please? To remain in Jesus because he is our source of life. Just like the umbilical cord, just like the branch coming out of the vine. That's where the life comes from. And if you remain in him, you have life. If you live in him, if you abide in him, you have life. It's that simple. A branch with no connection to the vine, I'm my own man. Well, you're a dead man. That's what it says. Don't be your own man. Don't be your own woman. Be in Christ. A branch with no connection to the vine has no purpose except to be collected up and piled up and burned later. You know this. We're all looking at the trees and hoping the snow and the ice goes away soon so we can get out there and start pruning. It's almost that time. Oh, sooner, please. Oy. So we worship, we connect, and we serve. That's how we do this. Those are our three modes of operating as God's people, as the people of Jesus in this community, in this country, in this world. Yesterday we had, I was told, 56 men gathered downstairs for breakfast. And how does all this happen? Jesus says that if you're abiding in me and you make a prayer, you will get whatever you want. Wow. Because if you're abiding in him, you begin to pray for the right things. So, funny pathway. Joe and I were walking last fall. We were walking every once in a while, 2-3 times a week, down on the track. And he's telling me about wanting to do some cooking. He has a friend who cooks every week for his church, and he'd like to do that once in a while, he thinks. So I said, okay, how about the Passover? Okay, I'm on for that. And then, oh, we're going to do a men's breakfast. And so all of a sudden, that happens. That locks into place. Because people are remaining and are abiding and are living in Messiah. So we have this breakfast. And Wes is telling us about 10 different habits, ideas of walking with God that we're going to be exploring over the next year. And he talks about, just a daily practice. And so I realize, as we're talking about that, he asked Jeff a question. He said, Jeff, how would I start losing weight? Jeff says, drink water. I said, oh, I've lived long enough that I figured that out now. So then I got thinking about my morning routine. I'm an early riser, but I'm not fully awake when I get up, you know, always. So I get up, and the first thing I do is I pour myself a glass of water because my body needs to be rehydrated. Then I sit at my desk, and I pray, and I read different things every day. You know, I mean, I've got my routine because of the way my life is. I read a couple of verses in each of the original language just to keep my hand in. I pray sometimes some little bits of liturgy, the Lord's Prayer, whatever, to keep my mind focused. And I do that in the context of drinking this glass of water. And I realized yesterday when Wes was talking that, oh, that's just a spiritual version of what I'm doing physically. I'm rehydrating my physical body, but with my study, my prayer, my reciting scripture, that I am rehydrating my spiritual self at the same time. And so just a small insight, because we live in the Lord, because we abide with Him, because we remain with Him, we're together, we hear these things. And so the networks are going all over the room from things I learn from people, and I hope people are learning from me and from you as well. Remain in Him, and you begin to want the right things. And lo and behold, God answers those prayers. If you remain in Him, you have life. Now, if you remain in Him, if you live in Him, if you abide in Him, you produce fruit. And here's the part that I wasn't quite keying into until I looked a little more closely. But the believer, the follower of Jesus, is not commanded to produce fruit. In fact, you really can't produce fruit just because you want to. The fruit is a sign of your relationship, the fact that you're remaining in the vine. It's a sign that you're connected to your source of life. It's a sign that you are praying to the Father in heaven through Jesus the Son. And it's not just a little ritual necessarily. Rituals are good, but they don't get you there. A ritual is just a framework to work in. It's like lines on the road. If I stay between these lines, I'll get where I'm going. If I try to go overland, I'll be stuck within a couple of minutes, no doubt. And so these things, if you remain in Him, you produce fruit. The fruit is the sign of our prayer connection with the Father. And the fruit of that prayer, Jesus tells us, it's obedience. If you stay in me, you'll find yourself obeying me. If you stay in me, you're going to find yourself surprised by my joy. It's just going to overtake you. If you stay in me, you're going to find yourself loving one another. And that's how people will know that you belong to me, that you're connected to me, is because you love one another, because you obey, because you have my joy in you. And you are going to be, he goes on later in this chapter to say, you're going to be a witness to the whole world, because people want to know, why don't you need to be stoned all the time? Well, that's a serious question. People want to know, you know, I got to stay happy all the time. I got to keep that TV going. I got 900 channels, and I'm chasing the channels around, and I'm drinking this, and I'm taking that. And Jesus says, abide in me. You'll be fine. You'll have joy. You'll have what you were looking for. Fruit is an outcome of dependence on the vine. It is the nourishment that we get from that umbilical cord. I don't want to be a baby. I want to be out doing my own thing. He says, be like a little child. Be connected in that way to me. Hang on to my leg. Just like your little one hung on to your leg when they were little. That's what he's saying to us. It's not a checklist. Checklists are good, but it It's not about the checklist. It's about the relationship that the checklist keeps you focused on. Our nutrition, our nourishment from the vine comes through our attention to those things, our staying in Jesus. So be the fact that you're here today. 2 weeks out, it was just driving me nuts. I felt like I hadn't seen anybody all winter long. Because we're connected. That's the vine. He's got us all networked. Finally, this, if you remain, if you remain, you will find joy. And I was just very happy about that. If you obey my commandments, says Jesus, if you love one another, you will have my joy. You will be, as C.S. Lewis's title to his autobiography is called, Surprised by Joy. He quoted that from somebody else too. Surprised by joy. So last night we had this long business meeting. And usually I don't get real surprised or joyous about long business meetings. But I was surprised by the joy of that meeting last night because I felt like we moved forward. I'm a person who likes things in season. I look forward to the coming of autumn because we get apples. I like apples, and I eat them in the fall. And then I'm really excited about the coming of Christmas because oranges come out at Christmas time. I like oranges. And so those are in season. And we were talking about what season we've been in and what season we are now entering, where we are going. And sometimes our discussion, we try to compare apples and oranges. And they're not the same. They're different. And so we were working through some of those things last night. It's a change of season. And I think we as a congregation are moving forward into the next place God is taking us. If we will remain in Him, if we will live in Him, if we will abide in Him, we will find His joy. Well, I would like to end our time today. If I can have the band come up, I'd like each of you to do a small project for yourself and for others. Let's stand up together and repeat after me so we've got it down in our head here. It is a joy to be here with you. Would you say that with me? It is a joy to be here with you. One more time. It is a joy to be here with you. So now, would you please go find three other people that you didn't come here with and tell them that, and then we'll sing a closing song in just a moment. It's a joy to be here with you. It's a joy to be here with you. Okay, let's regather so we can sing a song. Go ahead.
Trembles at His voice. How great! great is our God. And oh, you'll see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God is Father, Spirit, Son, Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great.
Above all names,
name above all names, worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. He's the name above all names, worthy.
God is great. From 2 Timothy, Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but share in suffering for the good news according to the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our deeds, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Messiah Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Messiah Jesus. Indeed, he nullified the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. Amen.